Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
State of our nation. The state of our nation. And if you do have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. I'm going to have the Word of God up here. But let me introduce this message. We live in chaotic times. Do you believe that? Millions are flooding our borders right now. And they're bringing across fentanyl and all kinds of arms and all kinds of illegal things. And it's out of control. We see violence throughout our land. There's killings every day, especially in the metropolitan cities, the big cities like Chicago, New York, L.A. We're seeing sexual immorality flood this nation. Everything's about sex now. Everything's about transgenderism. Everything's about homosexuality and all these things that God calls an abomination. And I know it's tough because we have family members that are caught up in that. But I'm here to give a message of hope for them before the judgment comes. And to prepare our hearts to live holy unto God. But in Psalms chapter 9, King David, his psalms that he wrote, usually there were songs that he would sit down and meditate on God, and then he would write them into a song fashion. It was like a praise. But in Psalms 9, it's twofold. It was about the condition of his time then, but it was also a foreshadow of things to come. And I truly believe when we look at this, we can identify this Psalms even in the condition of our nation today. So if you're there, let's go there. And it reads, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell you of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name. And this is what we did today. Amen. O Most High. And when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. Praise God. Praise God. Look at verse 4. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Wow. If your name gets blotted out, something seriously has gone wrong. Jesus. And it says, O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities, even their memory has perished. This is still a future event for us here in this nation. Look at verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. Say that with me. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. And he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. Look at that. And he shall, look at this. And the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. A refuge in times of trouble. And we're in times of trouble right now. When our school system has infiltrated our families with their agenda, we're in trouble. Teaching 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds about transgenderism. And I know we're probably going to get turned off right now on Facebook and YouTube, but that's okay. Turn me off. Because I'm gonna preach truth up here. Can I get amen? See what man has done, they've learned to coddle sin. Man learns to coddle sin. And we become self-deceived. But when you speak truth of the word of God, God will put something in you. It's called the righteousness of Christ that he imputes upon you. It's not our own righteousness, because the Bible's clear. Our own righteousness is but filthy rags. But when righteous indignation rises up and you see what God sees, God then opens up the mind of your understanding and you start lining up with God. You're either for him or against him. A refuge in times of trouble. Look at this. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You could take that to the bank. You seek God, you stay in his word, you stay humble, you stay close to him, he will be your refuge in time of trouble. Look at verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. And when he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. You catching this? Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. Listen, if you have people that hate you, join the party. I have 11 brothers and sisters. A whole lot of them don't like me. Why? Because I won't hang with them no more and do the things that they love to do, which is party, still get high, still drink, still curse and smoke and chew and hang out with those who do. God has separated me. And I boast in Christ, not in my own flesh. Because my own flesh wants to go back and hang out with them. But God said no. See, when you learn, especially a day like this, today is our worship day. If you put God first and you blot out everything else, God will start enriching your family, your heart. Put nothing in front of God, especially on the day of worship. Can I get amen?
Yes,
nothing. Whether it's business, whether it's sports, whatever it may be, kick it out and put God first and watch him do the miraculous in your life. God will send legions of angels to watch over your home. You know why? Because he'll see that you're serious now about him. And you're not playing church. You become the church. Hallelujah. Verse 13, have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell all of your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation. Praise God. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid. Their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And then he meditates. And then he says, Salah. It's like a break. And then he continues in 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Are you catching that? If you put anything else in front of God, you've forgotten about him already. If he's not number one in your life, you've forgotten about him already. He needs to be your all in all. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He needs to be number one in your life.
Amen.
Whatever's on the throne of your heart, you need to kick that thing off and put Christ there.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
He has to be your all in all. Praise God. The world has nothing to offer us anymore. Nothing. Nothing can please us like he does. Praise God. Look at that. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, and do not let man prevail. Are you catching this? Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be put, but to be what? Men. Can I get an amen in the house?
Amen.
And so let's look at this. The greatest privilege in life is to know God. Praise God. And the nation that has turned against God needs to go back and learn about him again. God will have mercy on this nation if it turns. That's why don't miss this Thursday. If you can make it out to the Legacy Center, don't miss this Thursday. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is going to give a message to the nation. And so saints, through the natural world, our conscience, the life of Jesus Christ, and the written word of God, we can know who God is. How many of you really, really want to know God? Be in prayer and study his word. Be in the word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amazingly, saints, he even invites us to boast about it. When we share about, hey, there were 10 men at the men's Bible study, we're boasting in Christ and look what he's doing. Come on, you all know, just a year or so ago, like pulling teeth. You couldn't get one man there. And the women, they were all flooded. They would start out with 20. I go, man, what are they doing that we ain't doing? God is doing something mighty. See, when God does it, you can boast about it. Amen. There was nothing to boast about having no men's Bible study. Saints, unfortunately, sometimes we allow sin to influence our understanding of God and his ways. Once again, we are very self-deceived. We self-deceive ourselves. And we have to realign with God. And when we choose to turn away from the truth we know about the Lord, there will always be spiritual consequences. How many believe that? There's always going to be spiritual consequences. Let's look what God says in his word in Jeremiah 9:23. Look at this. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's about knowing God. Forget about your status in life. Some of us are so po, we can't even pay attention. But that's all right. I'd rather know God. Because God's able to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Oh, that's right. God's able to do that. Look at this, that he understands and know me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment as well, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Listen, God delights. He delights also in judgment. Why? Because his creation, who he took time out to speak into existence, has turned their back on him. So he delights in judgment. Okay. All right, Mr. Know-it-all. You won't acknowledge me? All right. Then I have to judge you because he's righteous and holy. And there's no darkness in him. You see, when Paul wrote a letter to the Romans, Paul explained that humans often deny the obvious proof of God's existence and thus become spiritually blind. Did you know that we can become spiritually blind? Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right up here. Look at this. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So that they are without excuse. Look at verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. This is the condition of the nation. Turn to your brother or sister or turn to your neighbor and say, God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Come on. Come on. See, we're not the frozen chosen up here. I hope you know that. We're not the frozen chosen. Can I get an amen? We are called, hallelujah, to glorify him, to magnify him, to worship him, to praise him, to exalt him, to love him, and to surrender all to him. And when you surrender your all of you, then all of him becomes, you become filled with all of him. And how many of you love when he fills you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet? There's no other place I'd rather be. Wasn't that a song that was sung today? There's no place that I'd rather be here in your presence, here in your presence, Lord. And so let's look at this. Our Heavenly Father has given us knowledge of himself, so there's no excuse, even to the unbeliever, even to the secular world, there's still proof on who he is. Can I get amen? Amen. Hey, listen, God doesn't have to reconvince us. The first day we surrendered and he filled us with his power, his love, and transformed our futile minds into the minds of Christ. We are now new creatures in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you should be walking in the newness of life. Amen. If you're still finding yourself cursing out folks, you need to come to the cross and get saved. Can I get amen? There should be no more foul language, no more chewing and smoking and drinking and all that. Why? Because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. So if we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, we need to look like God. Can I get amen? Not be God, because there's only one God. But be like him. Emulate him. Others need to see the proof in the pudding. Listen, God has placed us in this dark world to be a light. And yes, we're going to come across unsafe folk. Yeah, we're going to see them. You know what? But they need to see a change in you. They need to see that you're different from them. Not that you're mightier than them, that they could be like you, the Christ who lives in you, the hope of glory. Can I get amen? They need to feel the fragrance, see the fragrance. They need to see that the presence of God is all over you. Can I get amen? Let's look at four ways on the way God communicates about who he is to us. Number one, it's a natural revelation. Creation itself declares that there is an intelligent and infinitely powerful designer of the universe. How many believe that? No, that's right. Even if you have a goat cart for your car, there was still a designer for it. Can I get amen? Someone designed it. And so for some of you that have a Lexus in there, someone designed it. Don't matter. But look what the Word of God says. I'd rather go with the Word of God says. Look at this in Hebrews 11:13. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God framed the world. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Praise God. Did you know that Paul said the invisible world is more vast? The invisible world is more vast than the things we see. When he was caught up in the third heaven, let me tell you, you would have loved to see what God showed him. He didn't want, everyone that goes up there that's heard of going up there, they don't want to come back. Would you want to come back? Saints, these things like seasons, the incredible variety of fruits and vegetables and the diverse types of animals all point to a thoughtful, wise creator. That's right. Woo. Even your little dog at home, Chikaroo. We saw a movie the other day called Gonker. What kind of dog was it? A Labrador got lost, and they looked for that dog for like almost a month, and he stayed alive in the forest, and they found him. But you know, God made that special little dog to be man's best friend. Some of you are cat lovers. Good luck. Yeah, I'll watch myself. And then when I sit on the couch, what's that? Even the heavens full of stars and galaxies declare God's glory for his power and his perfect order. Look, King David wrote this. The heavens, say that with me. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. My goodness. For you camping lovers that have been out there in the desert or the mountains, there's no city lights. And you look up, you can see the shooting stars. You can see the galaxies, the Milky Way. You can see all the stellar, what do you call it? What are they called? Yes, constellations. God created all that. God created all that. And he's declaring the glory. The glory. The glory. Praise God. You know, I've said it many times, but when God finally judges this world, he's going to take the church out. He's going to take us out first. Can I get amen? Because the story of the 10 virgins is clear. We talked about that this morning. If you didn't see the video, the movie, I think it's on PureFlix. It's a Christian network. It's called Before the Wrath. And it talks about that Jesus is coming for his church the way the Galileans practiced the wedding. Because he's a Galilean, and so was his apostles and disciples. We're Galilean. But in that story, in that documentary movie, it said that there was 10 virgins. 5 had oil, 5 didn't. Who are the ones that didn't have it? Number one, when David sinned with Bathsheba and the prophet called him to the carpet, he could have done two things. Because the kings of old, they would have just chopped off the prophet's head. Don't you bring that to me. I'm the king. Or you fall on your face in repentance and say, oh God, have mercy. King David had a heart after God. So he fell on his face and cried out. But one thing in Psalms 51, I don't have that on my notes or on the screen, but in your Bible, Psalms 51, there was one unique passage of scripture that identifies how those 5 didn't have oil. When he cried out and he asked God to forgive him, he said this, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, if a Christian is in continual sin that knows God, God will remove his presence from him. And now you're just operating by remembrance. You just remember about God. But he's not living in there no more. And so when Jesus comes, he's taking the 5 that have the Holy Ghost, that have the oil, that are looking for his return. The other 5, they were doing whatever they wanted to do. I'll come to church when I want. Don't tell me this. And then when the preacher's hitting on something kind of personal, oh, I don't want to hear that. I'm not coming back there no more. If you can't believe all of God's word, don't even believe none of it then. Some people pick and choose. I'm gonna believe that, but I'm gonna tear this portion out. Jesus, help us. Saints, when Paul was evangelizing, he referred to God as a creator to help his audience relate to God's message of the need for repentance through Christ. Look what he says look at what was written in Acts 14, 15 here. Look at this. And saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you. and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all the things that are in them. This was a time when they were preaching the word of God, and they were being confronted by non-believers, unbelievers, the Romans, the religious Jews. And there's a whole lot of religious folks. There's a whole lot of religious folks. There's religious folks today. Don't get caught up in the prosperity gospel. They'll leave you empty and broke. Saints, even apart from the Bible, people have no reason to doubt that God exists. Can I get an amen? Amen. Creation is an adequate testimony. And so, the second thing is what? Our conscience. Did you know that God put in our conscience the hope for God to seek him? Just the conscience alone tells you what's right and wrong. Just the conscience alone. God has given each person an internal sense that he exists. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Paul wrote it in the book of Romans. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So there's no excuse. Can I get amen? There's no excuse. Even people who have never been taught God's law instinctively know what is right and what is wrong. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We have a little granddaughter right now. She does some quirky stuff. It's like, where did you learn that? You know, but then she comes to a place, well, I think that was wrong. Yeah, it was wrong. But we give her that grace to get it right. Look what Paul wrote again to the Romans here. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although having not the law, are a law to themselves. What is he saying here? He's saying that there's people that don't even know anything about God have still a good conscience because it's built in by God. It's when the devil comes in and causes havoc. When the enemy comes, then without the power of God to protect you, you will fall for the traps. Look at verse 15. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Our nation's in shambles right now. I wouldn't trust this government if you paid me. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And you know, we are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for our presidents. We can't stop. We got to pray for them that they would see some kind of righteousness. But when you have this government that's allowing all 51 states to abort a child with a pill now, this is where you draw the line. I'm stepping back from all that. Because we have to believe God and his word, amen? And so, for example, saints, it's common across cultures to forbid murder. It's common to forbid it, to forbid rape and stealing. Our hearts confirm that certain behaviors are morally wrong. I hope you know that. I remember when I was maybe 7 or 8 going to a store and I didn't have no money, but do I take that or not? Thought like that when I was 20.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Yeah. It's in our nature to think that. But God put a conscience. Do I do it or not? If we didn't have a conscience, we just do it like, who cares? And now, have you seen those mobs breaking into supermarkets? And getting anything you want, and they walk out. We went down. Oh, honey. We went down. What's that place called down by San Isidro? The Outlet. And we went into Vans. And there was someone in there. You know, well, a lot of people were in there. And this one guy has a, he comes out, I mean, he has a what do you call a backpack and everything. And then he just slowly walks out and woo, 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 woo. And then the attendant, I said to the attendant, hey, I think he stole something. She goes, we got to let him go now. I go, what? I'll go grab him right now. She goes, we're told now that once they walk out, you let them go. This is where this has gone. Lawlessness. Lawlessness is throughout the land. My goodness. Man, I'm telling you, if that was me and I was a youth, my dad will put some welts on my legs. And you can't even touch a kid no more. They'll call the authorities on you. You can't. Listen. You are no longer able to take the Board of Education to the seat of their understanding. God made that little blip back there for purpose. Train up a child the way he should go. When he gets old, he will not depart from it. If you spoil the child, you spare the rod. You spoil the child. And so, for example, it's common across cultures to forbid murder and all this that we talked about. Our hearts confirm that certain behaviors are morally wrong. We see that. So thirdly, let's take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This man was perfect in all his ways. Can I get an amen? Creation and human conscience can testify that there is a God. How many believe that there is a God? But they can never give a complete picture of who he is or how he interacts with us. You ever had family members kind of like, they look at us like we're weird? Well, don't call them on Sunday. I'll never get a hold of them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're the holy rollers. The hallelujahs. I love those name tags. You could tag me all day long with that. Because when they call me, hallelujah. What you need? You see, God's best revelation of himself is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, God took on human flesh and walked among humanity. Praise God. Jesus perfectly revealed the character and the nature of his Father. Oh, yes, he did. It's in the Word of God. Look at this in John 14. Look at this. If you had known me, look at this. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. What does that mean? That means because Jesus walked uprightly, perfectly, there was no sin in him. He was the sinless 100% man, 100% God at the same time. This is why the religious folks hated him, because they couldn't find fault in him. People can find fault in us all day long. I get that, but not Jesus. He was perfect. Look at this. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Listen, he raised the dead. He healed the blind. He allowed the mute to speak again. He fed 5,000 on a hill with a sack lunch from a little boy. Hallelujah. And he has delivered you and I from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. And if you still cannot see the Father, I don't know what to do for you. Look at verse 10 up here. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the work. This is why it's so important, saints of God, that we need to have the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. Can I get amen? Amen. People need to see a difference. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. They need to see a glow about you. That's right. They need to see a difference, because guess what? Jesus is the different maker. He's the difference maker. Can I get amen?
Yes, amen.
He will take vessels that were tossed and turned and thrown away. And that was you and I. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And then God redoes, he recreates us once again to be used in his hand. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Listen, let me just say this. If you are truly walking with him and doing the will of God, the gates of hell will never prevail against you.
Amen.
Enemies will come out of nowhere. Slanderers, backbiters, criers, liars, the whole works. And God will silence them.
Amen.
Oh, yes, he will. My wife and I are proof of that. We first started Amazing Grace 17 years ago. Our own family came against us, and he had to silence their mouth. The devil tried to inflict fear on us. But greater is he that lives in us than he that's in the world. Can I get amen? Listen, when God has proclaimed, and it's part of his call and his life that lives in you, his plan, the providence of God, when he has done something and said it before the foundation of the world, nothing will be able to come against you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Nothing. Relationships, money, children, family, on the job, nothing can ever get in the way of God. And if you don't believe that, look at the life of Moses. He had 1 million people crying on his shoulder, mocking God. God had to open up the earth and swallow 3,000 of them. Oh, come on. Saints, Jesus, he loved unconditionally. He forgave sins. He healed disease, taught his disciples how to live, and assured them of eternal life. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get amen?
Yes.
And we can experience intimate friendship with him. Oh yeah, look at the word of God says. Look at this in Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. What? Listen, I don't care what you did in your BC years. That's right. I don't care what you've done. But guess what? The Bible says he remembers your sin no more. And that he says a new covenant he has made, the first obsolete. Now what has become obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Praise God. Praise God. Now we're the new covenant. Can I get amen? Because we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Nobody wants to talk about the blood no more, but guess what? It was the blood, hallelujah, that washed away my sins. Did it wash away your sins? Look what it says in Isaiah up here. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Look at that. And I will not remember your sins. Aren't you so blessed? But your ex will remember everything you said. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. This is why we gotta love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Can I get amen? I don't care what people say about you. You are perfect in God's eyes. I may see all of y'all flaws and failures, but God sees you holy and perfect and blameless. So guess what? We all need a paradigm change. We need to think about like God, right? Come on. Look what King David wrote right up here. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sin. Aren't you so blessed? He hasn't dealt with us that what we deserve. Look at this. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Just fear the Lord. Just love him. And look what else he says right here. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from him. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are what? Dust. That's why in the kingdom of God, there is no big eyes and little U's. Can I get amen? Ain't no, none of us can rise above the levelness of the cross. We're all equal at the cross. Can I get amen? Fourthly, the word of God. The word of God, our Bible. This is what we need. Can I get amen? Amen. The power of God, amen. The anointing of God, and the word of God. And the best way for us to discover who God is to open up the scriptures to find out his divine revelation. Hallelujah. That's right. You see, the book shows us the Lord's will and tells us of all his attributes that are clearly seen. And his holiness and his mercy. The stories of the Old Testament, saints, inspire and challenges us. I know Pastor Art had to leave, but what he's teaching us on Tuesdays, it's incredible. We're learning on what God, how God delivered many of the Hebrews, and yet they had a short memory. We have to have long memories. Can I get amen? Not short. Saints, the Bible is a gift that clarifies who God is and how he operates in this world. How many of you believe the word of God is true? How many of you believe that? Well, let's look what the word of God says about the word. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So what does that mean? That means we could come on Sunday, praise the Lord, God bless you, and go home and kick the dog and curse out somebody. God's a discerner of the heart. He sees it. Oh, yeah. We could play Kate all day long. Here's one thing that I've learned in 17 years of being a pastor. Someone will come up, man, pat me on the back. Man, that was awesome. That was awesome. You know what? I just say, give God all the glory. Give him all the glory. You know why? Because some will just come and go. They're here today and gone tomorrow. And the thing that was like brand new slice of bread to them became old and wretched within weeks. And then now they move on somewhere else. It's just human nature. Human nature. And so this is why I treat everyone here equally. Can I get amen? I do my best to treat each and every one of you equally. Why? Because I don't want to have pets. Right. My favorites. Right. I don't even want to know what people are given.
That's right.
Oh, you know why? I've heard it best. Some pastors want to get close to the big givers. I don't want to look at it.
That's right. Amen.
It says. Ain't nobody rolling up here in a Beamer either. And living on Sugar Hill. It's got to be all about God. It's got to be about God. Our life has to be about God. And this is how Jesus handles, how he handled himself when the enemy would confront him. Look at this. Oh, first of all scripture, say that with me. This is the second. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. That doctrine means teaching. For reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, but also know your word. But you got to know your word. That's right. Because then no one can dupe you. But look at this. This is Jesus that I was talking about. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. That capital S. When you see capital S on the Spirit, that means Holy Spirit. Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Old Slewfoot was there already. He just got baptized by his primo, John the Baptist. Filled with the power of God. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, I need you to catch that. If you be the Son of Man. If you. Remember in the garden, the serpent said to Eve, did God really say that? See, the devil will come to you in many forms and fashion. Did God really say that? If you are a child of God. Next time when you're by yourself in your room and there's a computer screen and you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, the enemy's going to come to you and say, if you are a Christian. I forgot to say the number one sin in our nation right now is pornography. And did you know, Focus on the Family, James Dobson, he put out a report that when there are Christian conferences in different hotels around the world where preachers congregate, the most ordered thing on their room is pornography. Guard your heart, man. Guard your heart. And when that tempter comes, fall on your face and say, God, give me the power, oh God. Take away this temptation, because this flesh is weak, but the Spirit is powerful. This is how Jesus dealt with it. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Next time you get tempted, say, it is written. Say that with me. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And then Jesus went on to say this, sanctify them by your truth. Why? For your word is truth. We are sanctified, set apart. Can I get amen?
Amen.
When God saved us, he immediately started doing the sanctification process in us. All that means is being set apart. Holiness means set apart. Blameless means walk with purity of heart. Walk with pureness and kindness. Be ethical. Be true. That's what blameless means. Something that we can achieve with our own conscience. I get that. Look at this. Man has turned away from the knowledge of God. Why? Because every human has basic knowledge of the existence of God, but they will not turn to him. This nation has not turned to him. Matter of fact, it's turning away. You guys remember the message I gave about 3 months ago? About the foreign gods that are here now?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It used to be a day of pride in Hillcrest. Now it's a month long. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And when they come in here, you love them.
Yes.
You pray for them.
That's right.
You don't tell them to get lost.
No.
But you pray for a change to come.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
Because only God could save them at that point. Some of them are reprobate. I get that. But guess what? Pray for them. They need to see the love of God. They need to see that they're walking in error. But when you get that moment with them, tell them that they need to repent. Or there's a fiery hell that's waiting for you. Can I get amen? And so we're going to close with these few outlines here. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. We read that already. Praise God. And so we need to look at intelligence. Everything begins with the partial knowledge of God through their conscience and the witness of creation. Although people have the capacity to understand that He exists, they often close their eyes to the truth so that they can avoid changing their behavior. I'm going to end with this, because I know we got the healing rooms coming up, and there's food in the fellowship hall today. So don't leave without getting a bite. Amen. But you ever ask yourself, I need you to ask this to yourself right now. Many of us have wonderful family members, immediate family members, distant family members, friends, acquaintances, those on the job, those in school. And you ever ask yourself, why do they do not see what I see? You ever ask yourself that? You ever ask, why are they walking in darkness? What was different about me, Lord, that you saved me? And that's another message for another time. But ask yourself, what? Well, if you don't study God's word, you're never going to know why they are like that. Why are they like that? And this is why they need our help. To intercede, to pray, to share, to preach, to let them know. But it's right here. Paul wrote it. God gave Paul revelation. In 2 Corinthians, look at this. But if our gospel is veiled, meaning if it's hid, it is hid to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, notice little g, that means the devil himself, because he thinks he's like the Most High God, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Unless the gospel comes to them, they will remain in darkness, who the devil has blinded their minds. They cannot see what we see. They're walking around like this, going through life blinded, because the devil has blinded them. So we need to bring the gospel to them in love and in truth. We need to let them know, yes, there is a paradise to gain, but we also need to let them know there is a hell to shun. Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven. And why did he do that? To save us from that horrible place. Because the world's already condemned. When Adam and Eve sinned from the beginning, the world became condemned. Jesus came to rescue us. He came to save us from our sin. Hallelujah. And so just remember that when you see unbelievers in your life, the devil has blinded them. And they cannot see what we see until God opens up their eyes. Like he's opened up yours and mine. Can I get amen? Look at John 3:19. Look at what it says right up here. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You hear what Jesus said? Men love darkness. Men and women love darkness rather than God. I think I shared it the other day, going through the mall during Christmas time. It was like going to a sporting event. There's so many people out trying to get a gift. And I said to myself, how many people in here truly know God? And the world's like that. Masses of people that don't know God. But God's called you. He's called me. This is why we need to rejoice. Can I get amen? We need to rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the time to rejoice. Huh? Is this the time to rejoice? Is this the time to love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind? Praise God. Praise God. Listen, before we close, I'm looking at you right now on YouTube and Facebook. If you logged in for the first time, second time, third time, I don't know, and you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would surrender your life. The Bible says repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you. He will do what he has done for us and that he wants to do for you right now. If you're going through something so hideous and so harsh, Jesus can set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so right now, pray this prayer of salvation, that God will come into your life and give you a mind to be saved and a heart of repentance. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.